The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Pero columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we've got a new one, Capella Metals. It's in the process of proceeding to a listing on the ASX, looking to raise between $4.5 million and $7 million in an IPO at 20 cents a share. And if it were to pull in the full $7 million, it would have a market cap of around $11.5 million, which listeners will know is one of my favourite things when you've got a nice tight capital base with exploration programs ready to go. In this case, we're talking around the Mount Isa region, so copper, copper gold, uranium, and zinc, silver, and lead. So with that, I'll introduce the managing director, Kane Fogarty. Kane's with us today to give us a rundown on the likely timing of the IPO and, of course, run us through the projects, which if you had to be looking across any commodities at the moment, copper, gold, uranium were the ones you would want to be in, I suggest. So with that, g'day, Kane. Welcome to the podcast.
G'day, Barry. Great to be here.
Right. Kane, you're obviously new to the listed world, so can we just get a bit of a background on yourself and the formation of the company?
I'm a geologist by trade. I've been working mainly in brownfields, near mine exploration roles. I've spent a bit of time as a junior geologist working at Mount Isa on the copper mine itself. And a few years after that, I found myself head of the mine site exploration for Equinox Minerals in Zambia, the Zambian Copper Belt, type of geology to Mount Isa, of course. And more recently, I've found myself in business development roles doing the joint ventures and deals, which I find really fascinating.
Right. Now, I've mentioned the focus there, copper, gold, uranium, essentially. So you've got this particular focus in the Mount Isa region. I think you've got around 2,000 square kilometres. It's a big land position for a small company to have. It, just give us a bit of background to how that was secured.
Yeah, fantastic land position. That's a new company. We formed in June last year, and we've been busy compiling this 2,000 square k's of exploration tenements right in the heart of the Mount Isa region. So we're right next door to Glencore. We have copper producers to the west of us and Austral and 29 Metals are to our north. FMG are exploring to our east and Carnaby and Hammer are to the southeast of us and Cooper to the southeast of us as well.
Mm. It has been an area of focus on the ASX in the last year or two with results from Carnaby and Hammer and Cooper Metals and True North.
It is a fantastic place to be exploring, and I think those our neighbours have had a lot of success in the last few years, happily drilling away at the same types of deposits we've got on our ground. But what we also have, being right next to Mount Isa itself, is we have the same regional scale structures extending up onto our tenement package. And so when this project became available, we had to jump on it straight away. We could just see the potential here of the major regional scale structures heading onto our ground, which has only been really lightly explored in the past.
Mm. Why would that be, given the size of the prize of finding another Mount Isa?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I think a lot of good work was done in the past, decades ago. Great mapping. The mapping's never going to be repeated to that standard. They did a really good job back in the day. Geochemical work, fantastic geochemical data sets. But only 25-odd drill holes in the entire 2,000 square kilometres sitting right next door to Mount Isa. And I think part of the reason for that is in the past, the industry had the wrong geological model for how these Mount Isa deposits formed. The thinking was that the copper eroded from a source up on the land and deposited in the Urquhart Shale. And if you didn't have the Urquhart Shale on your ground, then you didn't have a copper mine. And if it wasn't outcropping, you didn't have an economic copper mine. So we do have the Urquhart shale on our ground, but the important thing, what the industry knows now, is the structural control is the important feature controlling where these deposits sit. So with those important regional scale structures on our ground, which have focused the copper fluids into, the copper will drop out as soon as it hits any juicy reactive rock type. And I think the Kamoa discovery in the DRC is a good case in point, because that discovery, it's the greatest copper development project on the planet right now, right?
Robert Friedland's.
Yeah. It was only made in 2009 because it was sitting in a part of the stratigraphy where nobody thought it was prospective, despite copper mining in the region for over 100 years. That's what we could have on our hands here.
Now, interestingly, the reading I've done, you've sort of exploration focus split into two parts, really. High-grade copper gold at some known historical operations, and then what we've just been talking about, the big prize in that part of the world, finding another Mount Isa. So perhaps we'll stick with finding another Mount Isa. Just run through the lead projects in that hunt.
Well, interestingly, we've got two key targets, Calton Hills and Conglomerate Creek. So firstly, Calton Hills, it's located along the major regional scale structures. We've got the juicy shale host rocks. We've got extensive copper and zinc in soils, historical workings with rock chips up to 1.72% copper. And there has been about a dozen holes drilled targeting those copper soil anomalies, shallow holes spaced a few hundred metres apart. And that drilling also has extensive anomalous copper hits in it, 40 metres at 0.2, 60 metres at 0.1. Rio Tinto joint ventured into this area and drilled two holes in 1997, one of which ended in grade, 4 meters at 1% copper. And they abandoned that hole because of difficult drilling conditions. The intention was the geos advised going back to drill underneath it into the fresh rock. But they never did. And you know how the majors operate. If they haven't drilled the ore body with their first drill hole, sometimes they'll just walk away because they have other targets. And a case in point of a good analogy here is Greatland's Havieron discovery, where, you know, Newcrest had actually drilled the edges of that deposit. They had high-grade hits in their database, but moved on to other things. And when Greatland joint ventured in, they did the detailed magnetics, did the detailed gravity survey, and modelled the ore body, and pinged it with their first drill hole.
And now I think it's, what, about 7 or 8 million ounces gold equivalent, Havieron.
Fantastic discovery. And Greatland's market cap is $1 billion, and they only own 30% of it. Newmont are clawing back into that deposit.
That's right. And Andrew Forrest, of course, owns 8-9% of the owner, Greatland gold. So one to watch. Now,
geology here at Calton Hills, and we'll be using the same ultra detailed geophysical surveys, which are pretty cheap to do, before we drill it.
Okay, so you're clear on the heritage side to get cracking on the gravity and magnetics.
Yeah, those are low impact activities. We do have an agreement with the local Kalkadoon people to do that work.
All right, so don't want to pressure you too much, but get some RC and diamond drilling going later this year.
That's the intention, yeah. So after the initial geophysics, we aim to be drilling those targets before the end of 2024.
Right, okay. And Conglomerate Creek, that's from what I've seen, pretty much the same geology as Mount Isa. So another Mount Isa type target you'll be working on.
I get really excited about Conglomerate Creek because it's got all the right ingredients. It's sitting right next door to a major regional scale structure. It's got the juicy reactive shale rocks that are thrust underneath the mafic rocks. So it's the same structural architecture as the Mount Isa mine itself. There is a bullseye magnetic anomaly over a 2K by 2K area adjacent to this regional scale structure. On top of the mag anomaly is some historical workings. And then sitting to the northeast, there is a 6K by 6K copper anomaly in the streams. And this comes back to what I said earlier about how they did great work back in the day. Mount Isa Mines in 1967 mapped this area, did the stream sediment survey, But this extensive copper soil and stream anomaly has sat there in company databases all this time. When you put that together with the geophysical anomaly and the major structure there, it's a compelling target. It's just begging to be drilled.
Yeah.
But what we'll do is that detailed magnetics and gravity to define the drilling targets.
Right, so that's probably drilling, what, early next year perhaps?
Before the end of this year is the goal.
Oh, right, okay. Now, given the scale of these targets and the growing interest in copper, you know, it's $3.85 a pound and everyone's expecting it to break through $4 a pound before long. And BHP the other day was saying it's quote-unquote will fly up sometime soon as the world deals with this looming supply shortage. I was just wondering, these are 100% projects. You're not going to be tempted if a major comes knocking on the door and says, can we farm into this and help out with the exploration costs? The intent is to stay 100% at this stage.
Correct. It is 100%. And we're going to have a crack at it on our own with the funds raised from the IPO. And that'll certainly allow us to do the work we want to do and to be testing these targets before the end of the year.
Great stuff. Okay. So let's have a look at the other projects on the other side where you're sniffing around historical workings, essentially. I'm thinking of this surprise mine, which in the past was worked to a depth of 40 metres, which is very shallow in Mount Isa region terms. Tell us a bit about that one.
Surprise looks identical to what our neighbours have been busily drilling away at. It looks just like the Greater Duchess project that Carnaby has and the Cowman project of Hammer and others in the area. So this style of deposit, you're getting high-grade copper with gold along with it. It's an Ernest Henry style of deposit. So as you know, Ernest Henry is the lowest cost gold mine in Australia due to those copper credits. Look, everybody would like to have one of those mines. The beauty of Surprise, though, is it's only been drilled in the past, in the 70s and 90s, down to shallow depths. So we're talking down to 80 metres below surface. These deposits, they have incredible down plunge continuity to them, where Carnaby are drilling 500 metre deep holes and Hammer's resources down to 800 metres, and Ernest Henry's going down to 1800 metres, and it's going.
So what's the plan there in terms of boots on the ground?
So we'll be drilling there straight after listing. It's the first priority. And we'll be replicating the historical drilling from the 70s, where we've got hits up to 24 metres at 5% copper. We need to replace that historical drilling because it's not good enough for JORC. The first program will target in and around those historical pits, around the pit, and then we'll keep on going at depth.
All right, so a near-term ambition, what to define a high-grade resource?
Correct. I think after the second round of drilling, we could aim to have an initial resource defined, and then over time, over a period of a couple of years, we'll keep exploring this broader project. We have more of these high-grade deposits. The Surprise trend itself has a strike of over a kilometre. There are additional copper anomalies in the soils, high-grade rock chips along that trend, and a VTEM anomaly. Glencore flew VTEM in 2015, and there is an anomaly to the south of Surprise, which has never been drill tested and has never been mined. So I think we're going to have two or three of these high-grade shoots on the Surprise trend, in addition to the other high-grade copper targets on our tenements, which have never been drilled before. So we have a pipeline of these high-grade projects.
Yep. Okay. Now, another one in this category, Gunpowder Creek, where there's been some very high-grade recent rock chip samples, copper gold, and you've got 2.5 Ks of a 7K trend. What's the story of Gunpowder?
Correct. 2.5 Ks long. It's got a greater strike extent than Surprise. And recently we were out there collecting rock chips, and we recorded up to 7% copper with significant gold and significant silver. Gunpowder Creek structure has never been drilled before. So the approach here will be an IP survey. IP really works a treat in this part of the world. The copper sulfides just light up really well. So we want to use IP to map where those copper sulfide shoots are at depth before we drill it.
Yeah, okay. Another one where there was a recent rock chip sample of up to 39% copper, Julius. What's the story there?
Julius is a similar story where we have high-grade copper pods sitting adjacent to a quartz, prominent quartz ridge. And again, it's never been drilled before. So the approach here will be an IP survey, again, to map the sulfide chutes before drilling them. So I think these prospects really prove the point how lightly explored the region is despite the high grades.
Yeah. Okay. Now, to complete the portfolio ahead of listening, uranium. You have a project that surrounds Paladin's Valhalla project, which I think is the third biggest in Australia in terms of pounds, about 148 million pounds of uranium. Great time to be looking for uranium, of course, with the price finally breaking out and knocking around the US $100 a pound. What have you got there?
Correct. Our tenements surround Valhalla, which is, as you say, the third largest uranium project in Australia. Paladin and DPLO used to hold the ground that we have during the last uranium boom. So a lot of work has been done exploring for uranium on our tenements. And we've got literally dozens of targets. We've got an initial JORC 2004 resource, Queen's Gift. Does require some confirmation drilling, and then we'll need to update that to JORC 2012. We have other anomalies which have had a bit of drilling and require more drilling, and other targets are rock chip anomalies with high-grade rock chips, up to 2.86% uranium in rock chips. On top of the known targets, one of the last things that that Paladin did in 2011 before they put the project on ice, the chief geo there, Dr. Andy Wild, is a uranium expert and familiar with, has worked in the region for 10 years with Paladin and DPLO, did the independent experts report for our prospectus. One of the last things they did was looking at additional structural targets for uranium. There is about a meter, 2 meters of shallow sand cover over about half of the tenement package. And of course, you won't see a radiometric response through that shallow sand cover. The structures have been identified. We have 16 additional targets which have never been prospected before. The approach there will be shallow auger drilling to see what's there under the sand cover. So I think we have the real potential to define additional, significant additional resources on our ground. We've got quality uranium exploration assets.
Right, and an existing resource there at Queen's Gift. A lot of that work Paladin did back in the day, that was when Queensland had a ban on uranium exploration / mining, and that was lifted around 2012, something like that?
The previous government lifted the ban on uranium mining, although it's always been possible to explore for uranium. It still is. But then the current government overturned and reinstated that ban on uranium mining. Now, when we see some consistency in the legislation over a period that allows uranium mining in Queensland, I think that would be a good thing. In the meantime, it's early stages exploration for us, so we'll keep exploring with a hope that in due course, state government will come around and lift the ban.
Yeah, okay. Well, the rest of the world is looking to Australia to be a reliable long-term supplier of uranium for the nuclear fuel, nuclear power plants that seem to be getting commitments every day. There was one from the Netherlands to add another two to their fleet, and Sweden is lifting its ban. So seems to be the long-waited-for renaissance for uranium seems to be here. Okay, so just some Tintax. People interested in the story, how do they go about securing the IPO documents?
So we're looking to release the prospectus in approximately 2 weeks and open the offer.
And that would be as simple as going to the website, Capella Metals?
Correct. We'll place it on our website. We have a landing page there. We'll put the prospectus up. And also our lead manager, Discovery Capital Partners, here can be contacted.
Right. Well, do they have a number of offices, or what's the best office for them? discovered?
They're based here, yeah, in Perth.
Right, there we go. Okay. And just finally, it's just occurred to me, given the rundown you've done there of both the big targets and the follow-ups on around those historical mines, is this sort of ground position, it's hard to replicate in the Mount Isa region, but you certainly couldn't get the level of quality of targets, scale, potential in WA, could you?
Absolutely not. In Queensland, it's a great place to be exploring. The region has, four of the world's 10 biggest base metal mines and an established mining industry. Highly prospective for copper and uranium on our patch of ground, as our neighbours have proven with the results they've been generating over the last few years. 6 months ago, when we were fortunate to secure these tenements, it's not possible anymore. All the ground around Mount Isa has been taken, and the same applies here in WA. You can't get hold of good ground anymore.
Okay. Well, there we go, folks. A very interesting IPO. Nice mix of near-term, high-grade exploration, plus looking for the big one in Mount Isa. So with that, Kane, thanks very much for your time today. Good luck with it all. We'll be watching with interest.
Thanks, Barry. It's been great to chat. Cheers.